time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with George Kasotis. Now, George, you were telling me, well, about a Russian that came to eat in your restaurant.
Oh, yeah, you mean the ambassador.
Yeah, the ambassador.
Yeah, he was.
Now, what was the occasion? Why did he come to Marion?
No, I got a call from the auditors for the state of Ohio. I got a call from that office, and they said that we have the Russian ambassador from Washington, D.C., but he is Russian, and he was from Russia, but he was the ambassador to the United States from Russia.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I got a call from Tom Ferguson. You remember that name?
Oh, yes, yes.
Tom Ferguson was auditor. That's back in the 60s.
Yes, right.
And he said, we've got a group of gentlemen coming to your restaurant. We've informed the mayor of Marion. We've been informed the police department, and they're going to have no cars parked in front
really?
Of my restaurant. I had it blocked off.
Oh.
And when this car pulled up with the flags on the front of it, and these three guys came out of the car, but then there was another car, and another two guys came out, and they were something else with the Russian embassy. And they came in my restaurant, and I had a table set for them, and I fed them shish kebabs with rice pilaf and a Greek salad.
Okay.
And I had baklava and great desserts.
Ooh, yeah.
And after they ate, Vadim is his name.
Yeah.
Kuznetsov went out to the limousine and came back and handed me a bottle of vodka, a vodka.
Wow.
You know that they pronounced it vodka.
Is that right?
Not vodka.
Okay.
Vodka. And I said, what is this? And he said, it's Stolichnaya. Stolichnaya. I said, Stolichnaya. I said, that's a beautiful name. What does it mean? It's so clear and so pure that they call Stolichnaya Christ's tear, the tear of Christ.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
He said, can you get this real cold? And so I stuck it in my ice machine.
Yeah.
My crushed ice machine got it real cold, and it brought me some 5 or 6 glasses, and we poured a shot for everybody.
Yeah.
And we sipped them, and they said, congratulations, you are the first. This was back in the 60s. You are the first one in America that has a bottle of Stolichnaya.
Oh,
and I
no
said,
kidding.
My God. I said, why? He said, it's a new vodka that we produced in Russia.
Wow.
And I had the first bottle, and it's called Christ's Tear.
Isn't that something?
But now they call it Stoli.
Oh.
Have you ever heard that name?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's the nickname for Stolichnaya.
Is it S-T-O-L-L-E?
S-T-O-L-I. Stoli.
Oh, okay.
Stoli.
Yeah.
That's the name of the vodka.
Well.
The vodka. And anyway, with the hate. And because they wouldn't tell me at the state auditor's office why.
They
were here,
Marion, yes.
But then I found out that they were here to, they wanted to view the Marion Power shovel and how they made the crawler to go take the rockets out to NASA.
No kidding.
And they wanted to, and I said, why would the United States, that was from Washington, D.C. to Ohio to Marion.
Yeah.
And they said that it would be okay to let the ambassador view the Marion Power shovel, how they make the crawlers. Back in the 60s.
Wow, yeah.
Isn't that something?
That is, absolutely.
But back in the 60s, you know, I guess there wasn't that much turbulence or that much...
Apparently, yeah. Now, I told George one of the treads from that crawler transport that's been replaced is now open on vision at the Huber Museum here in Marion. And the way they got it, when we were down in Newark, Terry Klein and I, we were getting this NASA group together to come to Marion, their trailer and all. And so I told the head guy there, I said, you know, it's kind of ironic. You're coming to Marion. That's where the crawler transporter was made. He said, well, I didn't know that. I said, yes, we made it. He said, well, you know, an interesting thing. We've got a spare crawler tread that we'll loan Marion for a while. And so that's how they got it. They had to go up and haul it. Oh, it weighs 1 ton. One tread
of that weighs 1 ton.
Yeah. Man.
Well, those rockets, they weren't small.
No, they sure weren't small. Oh, my.
Well, they were shooting them off back in the 60s.
Yeah.
They were shooting them off in the, the things had to be high, about a couple hundred feet.
Oh, yeah.
High.
Yeah. And travels at a mile an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. It'd be any faster, they couldn't make it around a curve. Oh, well,
well, that was back in Kennedy's time.
Yes, it sure was. You betcha. What about, now, back to musicians in Marion. We've named quite a few. Who was this piano player? Oh, he's passed away, I'm sure, years ago. I can't remember his name now.
From Marion?
Yeah, and you'd remember his name. Oh, I think, but I shouldn't have brought it up because I can't remember. But he was so well known all around Marion.
And we talked about Bobby Floyd.
Yeah, Bobby Floyd. Now, this was before Bobby Floyd, maybe.
This is because he was only 15 and 64.
Yeah, right.
15 and 64. So it had to be in the 50s or the 40s.
And this guy played maybe, I don't know if he played the organ too, but he was quite known around Marion, well known.
You mean David Seifert?
No, David was a genius.
He played organ like nobody.
And he built
organs.
Yeah, he built one of those, what do you call them, harpsichords.
Yeah, harpsichord.
Man.
I don't know what happened to that, but when they sold the Episcopal Church, I don't know where that harpsichord went to.
Wouldn't that be something to have?
Yeah.
Yeah, my.
Because it's small and it fit anywhere in your house.
And before David died, he was building his own soda fountain.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He invited
did.
Me out to the engineer depot where he was building it. And good.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay. He did a lot of stuff, that kid. He wasn't a kid. He died at 49 years old.
Oh.
Hadn't turned 50 yet.
Oh, here's a caller. Let's see. Yeah, caller, go ahead.
Is he talking about Mr. McDowell? It's MCDOW, I think.
No, I don't recall him. Do you recall Mr. Dowell?
No.
I think it was McDowell.
Oh, okay. What was he, what did he play?
He taught piano.
Oh, he taught piano.
Oh, I thought it might be him, because I would say way up in his 70s. My girls took lessons from him, and I thought it might be him.
No, it wasn't him. Well, that's good that you remember that, though. Very good.
Uh-huh. Okay, goodbye.
Bye. All right. So, I wish I could remember that man's name, but he was well known through a certain period of time. It must have been the early 60s. Somewhere around in there. Oh. I'll be thinking about that all next 24 hours. What was that man's name? Well, anyhow, George.
Oh, there was a guy that played piano at the Ritz Bar and Grill.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, he played piano for Beanie Nicolosi, Mike's dad.
Oh.
You remember the Ritz?
Yes, quite well, yeah.
The Ritz. There was he had a piano in there. I'm trying to, golly, I know him. And he, maybe that was him.
Could have been.
He was playing back in the 50s.
Yeah, this guy was, good and well known around Marion. Well, Well, anyhow, hey, what do you think about the downtown, all the restoration going and remodeling? And
on South Main Street.
Yeah.
The front of that next to my old restaurant, it looks great. They did the whole new front.
Okay.
Oh, got new one. And across the street on the alley, left side of the alley, oh, my God, all new front, new windows, new. They tore all that out and put new in. Alex Sheridan.
Right.
And he's the one that started it. And then Luke Henry came in afterwards and joined him for the money end of it.
Well, they got a lot of money invested.
Oh, yeah, a couple million dollars.
Yes, yes. But
the room next to me, oh, come on, what was his name? He was a township trustee. he had that building, but way before that, way before he bought that building, that was Merton's Furniture Store. Merton played electric guitar.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Never heard of Merton?
No.
They called him Merton for certain. He had a furniture store.
Really? No kidding.
And he sold cheap furniture out of that building where Luke Henry and Alex Sheridan had fixed up to make it a... it's going to be a... where you can hold a wedding reception, you can have
a hall.
It's an empty hall with tables and chairs and everything. They don't serve food there if you want to hire a caterer to bring food in, but the hall inside is really beautiful.
Wow.
They got it made up for, you can seat a couple hundred people in there.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Yeah, well, that'd
and
be
for
good.
For receptions.
Yes.
And out and back, in the back, it's unbelievable. They've tore the whole thing out, and it's all brand new now.
Wow.
The doors, the glass doors, and the back of the building. You can't see it because you have to go through the alley to see
it.
Yes, but the parking lot where they have the popcorn festival music, that's a big parking lot.
City Lot A, yeah.
So if they have a party on a Friday or Saturday or a Sunday, that parking lot is empty. And they can park about 100 cars in there.
Yeah.
And then they can go in the back door.
Aha. Uh-huh. Good idea, yeah.
It was a good idea because it's only about a few steps from the parking lot to the back door. So they remodeled that back end of the right next to my back entrance to my restaurant.
Yeah.
The Keg and Vine, the Cafe George.
Right.
It's all brand new back there.
Isn't that something?
And then later on this summer, they're going to have, there's a big open space. At one time, I was going to buy that building and do the same thing he's doing and make it a catering hall for me.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to do that, but I never did because I was always cooking and
busy
doing caterings and stuff out of my own restaurant. I said, I don't have time to build that up. And
yeah.
But they're going to make it a catering hall for parties, receptions, weddings, whatever. And then in the summertime, they're going to have an outdoor thing back there in the back.
Well. That's good.
The latest Turoff restaurant, but the Turoff restaurant was down north of the old Turoff restaurant.
Okay.
When Chris and Jim started it back in the 20s. You remember the name Turoff?
They started in 1917, I think their sales book said.
Yeah. But now George, who was the nephew, came over. And he just turned 90.
I remember when he came over, from Macedonia.
Yeah.
And
he was on the border, actually. Naosau and Edessa is on the border. It's between Thessaloniki is the northern biggest city in Greece, and it's right on the border that where George was raised and born and raised.
Oh, yeah. and George at 90, is he... have finally retired?
Oh, yeah. He's not working at the hospital anymore.
Okay.
He just turned 90 on December the 19th, I think.
Yeah.
December the 19th.
You know, George, I think when he came over here, he had an arm, something wrong with his arm.
His arm. He had an injury.
Is that
injury.
Right?
Oh, yeah. He injured his arm.
Okay. But did he have somebody making those coconut cream pies?
Oh, yeah. There's this lady that worked for George for years. Actually, that lady worked for Chris. Chris was the oldest.
Oh, okay.
And it was Chris and Jim were the uncles. Chris ran the restaurant, and it was in the kitchen and with this lady he hired. Jim was the bookkeeper.
Okay.
They both died at 97.
Oh, no kidding. And then come George.
No, kinda... see, no. When Jim, when Chris died, Jim said, "Come over to my restaurant," and I knew Jim and Chris real well. I my mother and Chris and Jim Turoff were really close friends. Jim came over after Chris died. Jim came over and said, "George, what? Tithacano, what am I going to do? I said, "There's Twin Cities right there on the border of Macedonia and Thessaloniki, which is the largest Greek city. Right there is two cities called Nausa and Edessa. Jim's and Chris's sister lived there."
Oh.
And the sister was raising George.
Yeah, no kidding.
So back when Jim came over and I said, "Well, call your sister, call Vespina." I said, "Call Vespina and send her the money and have George come over and run the restaurant." So Jim sent the money and George came over.
So that's how it worked.
George couldn't speak English. Hardly any.
Yeah.
So I got the book out. I went and got the book from Judge Simpson. You don't remember Judge Simpson?
No.
Back then, back in the 50s. And I got a book so George can receive his citizenship.
Wow.
You've never heard this story?
No. No, and we're about to break here. Maybe you tell it after the break.
I helped George get his citizenship.
Wow. And George, you know, the nicest thing is that all of these conversations we had are recorded. And, you know, you talk about the history of Marion 2020 or whatever. All the history that you've given is still, you can get it on the Internet.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Every program you've been on with us has
been recorded.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
It's in the archives.
Then when I get to be 107, I can listen to my...
You listen to yourself? I remember that guy.
I remember that guy. No, I'm shooting for 107 because my grandfather, Emmanuel, lived to be 107.
Oh. Hey, and I was going to ask you, too, when at Pizza Villa was the Mastros, whatever, after they left Pizza Villa, what'd they do?
They sold it to Lupica, the Lupica girl.
Oh, okay.
Mary Lupica.
Yeah.
And she called it the...
Hey, Charlie.
Oh,
did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. And George Casillas, my guest today. We've got another half hour of history, you might say. Okay, now, the Mastros had Pizza Villa. You say it was taken over then by the lady.
Her name was Mary Lupica.
Okay.
But then she married, and she ran that place for years.
Did she marry George?
Huh?
George Lupica.
That was her brother.
Oh, okay.
George and Joe.
All right. But now, where did the Mastros go once they left Pizza Villa? Do you know?
Yeah, they started, it wasn't called, come on, what's the popular breakfast place now? We go there. The Romeos go there for breakfast.
Oh, it's not Denny's.
No.
Across the street.
Perkins,
yes. Okay.
He started Perkins.
Okay, so they went from Pizza Villa to Perkins.
Perkins, right away.
Okay.
No. Perkins was later.
Oh.
He went out on the South, 23 South, and started the steakhouse. It became a big pizza place. It tore down now, and guess what? It's a car wash place.
Really?
You know that new car wash place on going south next to Walgreens out there?
No, I'm not familiar with
that. You haven't been out south?
No. I haven't been much of anywhere.
You haven't been much of anywhere. Well, there's a new, big, brand new car wash there.
Really?
That was called, what's the pizza place? Had that roof, long place. It was there for years. Before the pizza place, Al Mastro started a steakhouse. I'm trying to think, Western Steakhouse, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And he did a good job there, Western Steakhouse. And then he sold that, and it became a pizza place. What's the red something?
All day, yeah. There's wouldn't been Red Roof Inn, but that wouldn't have been.
No. A pizza parlor. It was there for years, and then it closed, and it still was there for years until they just tore it down now in the last part of 2019. They tore it down and put a car wash in there.
Interesting. Oh, here's a caller. Maybe. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, that pizza place is called Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Yep.
Okay, that's it was on Delaware Avenue.
Yeah, that Mary Lupica that run that pizza place uptown?
Yeah.
She was one pretty woman. She was really pretty.
All right.
Well, the pizza place, the Pizza Hut, before that, it was Al Mastro started a steakhouse there called the Winter.
Yeah, it had a smorgasbord, I think it was.
Well, that's after the steakhouse.
Yes.
The boys grew up, Mike and Louie, and started the buffet.
Yep.
What was the buffet called?
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had a buffet there. And then this pizza place, they started Perkins, and then boom, they sold that.
Wow.
Yes.
Interesting. Hey, thanks for your history.
The Mastro.
Okay.
Thank you.
The Mastros, when Al first came to Marion, him and Madeline came in my restaurant, and little Mike was a baby.
Yeah.
And they set the baby on the counter, and they were drinking coffee,
because
Al would smoke his cigarette and drink his coffee.
Yeah.
And that's when he, the one on the corner, the Pizza Villa, he said, that's empty. He said, who owns that? And I said, the vice president of the National City Bank. And so I called him, and he came down, and Al and I and the vice president of the bank went in there, and Al says, I want to rent this right away. And that's where he made his first Pizza Villa.
No kidding.
Yeah, Al Mastro. Al and Madeline came from Pennsylvania. They came from...
Really?
Yeah, they came from Pennsylvania. And the only child was born was Mike, who was a little baby.
Yeah.
The daughter came, and then Louie came.
You're right.
Now, Louie still runs the Perkins.
Okay, Louie runs... Okay, who runs... One of them runs a place in Columbus.
That's at the Arena District.
Yeah, the Arena
District.
They
call that the Boston something.
Okay. But that's Al or...
No, the daughter.
The daughter. Oh, okay.
The daughter and her husband.
And he married... Yeah,
he married that school teacher.
Yeah.
School teacher's son.
Yeah, I know him well, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the... that family, the Mastro family from Al and Madeline, you go into Perkins, and the first thing you see on the wall is this great big picture of Al and Madeline in tuxedo.
Oh, yes.
I think it was their wedding picture.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Al and Madeline were great people. Al and Mastro, he would give you the shirt off his back.
Wow.
He would.
That's something, yeah. Now, what's Mike doing?
Mike started the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, that's right.
But he sold that now.
Okay.
He doesn't own it anymore.
All right.
He started Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah. That was his franchise.
Well, it sure got to rolling good. Still
you know
is.
That he's had an orchestra talking about music. He had a band.
Really?
Oh yeah, Mike had a band.
Oh, that's right.
He played drums.
Yeah.
That band was rock and roll.
What was it? Cherry Blonde?
Something like
yeah,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike started that band, and they really played a lot of places.
Wow. Yeah, you're hearing immediate past history of Marion.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at me. I go back to the 30s.
Well, yes, that's for sure.
I go back to the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. Yeah. I went strong up until about the 80s, 88, I think it was, yeah. 88, 89. And then it just started slowing down downtown. But from the 40s, when we first opened our first restaurant, it was 1942 downtown. And it was called the Home Restaurant.
Yes, right.
It was in the Bausinger building.
Yeah.
Henry Bausinger.
Right. And that name is still on that building.
Oh, that building up there, it says Bausinger Building.
Yeah, right.
And we actually bought that restaurant from Henry Bausinger. He was the owner.
Oh, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, George?
Yeah, George. Wait, he's holding the earphone up now.
Okay, well, I think the piano player you were looking for back in the 50s and 60s would have been Johnny Kessler.
That's exactly it, Johnny Kessler, yes, yes.
Yeah, he was an engineer on the railroad, and he played the organ and piano. He's very good.
I recognize your voice. I can't.
Baker.
Who are you?
Bobby Baker.
Oh, Bob!
How you doing?
I'm fine, Bob. I'm glad you called in because we couldn't think of Johnny Kessler. Johnny Kessler played in my bar. Oh, my God. I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah.
Bobby Baker, thank you so much. Wow. Yes. Tell Anita we love her.
Well, I will.
And you, too. We love you guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bobby had Maury's for years. He ran Maury's bar.
Oh, is that right?
Bob Baker ran Maury's bar for years.
Oh, my.
They would close up at 12 o'clock and come over to my bar, and Bobby and Nita and Eats and all those guys, God, we had fun, Bobby.
I think we did. Yeah.
thank you for calling.
That's great. Okay. Oh, boy, that history is coming up.
Isn't that neat?
Now, you won't see
Bob Baker told me that he listens to us. And I said, why don't you ever call in? And he's never called. And now finally, thank you, Bob Baker. God bless you. And it's, anyway, they they would come over. But Johnny Kessler could play that piano like nobody's business.
Oh, Johnny, yes, yes. I remember him so well. Now, he played in your bar, too?
Oh, yeah. Johnny Kessler played in my bar. Another guy played piano and organ. And his buddy played trumpet. Oh God, I can't think of his name now. That's when we get lady. I'm 87 years old, and I can't remember all those names.
Well, it's hard to. Yeah, I know what you mean. But we can remember a lot more way back then than we can yesterday. That's for sure.
Bobby Search. I just remembered. Bobby Search was a trumpet player. You don't remember Bobby Search?
No.
Oh, my God. Bobby Baker would remember Bob Search. He played trumpet. And him and the guy played piano and organ. He could play organ or piano. They played in my bar. And I forgot about Bobby. Now that Bob Baker reminded me of Johnny Kessler, so many people played in my bar.
It sounds like it, yeah.
I built a stage back there so I could have musicians.
Yeah, I remember that stage, yeah.
And... oh, my God.
Johnny Kessler, yeah. That would have been bugging me all day long if he hadn't called. Johnny Kessler. I knew him well. I must have engineered a broadcast of him and his piano or something.
Now, you wouldn't believe when Bobby and Nita Baker had the Maury's.
Yes.
That place was booming, and the people in there, you would not believe. All these people that are gone now.
Yeah.
Would be in Bobby's bar, and at 12 o'clock at midnight, they would close up, just like the lodges, the Moose, the Elks.
Oh, yes.
All those lodges closed at 12 o'clock,
right.
And they'd come to my bar, and Bobby would close and come over. I had 100 people in my bar at midnight.
How long were you open?
Till 2:30 in the morning.
Okay.
I had a 2:30 permit.
How did you ever get enough sleep to...
I never did get any sleep.
Sounds like it. Oh, my.
And the bar would be full of smoke. And all that smoke, I couldn't see anybody because it was all you could see was smoke. So, what's his name? His wife still has that furniture hardware store down there where it was... he just died here a year or two ago.
Brown.
Huh?
Brown was his name?
No, Brown would work for him.
Oh, okay.
But the guy that... he was a contractor. And I said, where can I find a big fan? He says, I got one out in the barn. The fan... my arm stick out here, and the arm stick, it was that big.
That big, yeah.
So I cut a hole in the roof, and they put a screen so the rain wouldn't come in. And you put that fan in there, and I had a switch right there at the stairway going upstairs, and I'd put it, and it would go, and it'd suck all the smoke out.
Wow.
And then... Johnson, Steve Johnson and Cover would come in from Whirlpool and bring all the Whirlpool guys in, plus the clubs, and then Bobby Baker's group. We'd come over, and every once in a while there would be a little drip of water coming down if it was raining outside, and Bob and Steve Johnson and Cover would open up an umbrella and sit there at the bar and drink with an umbrella.
Oh, no.
Oh! Bobby Baker sitting at home laughing at laughing about all the memories we had. Oh, my God.
That's one nice thing about memories. I mean...
Charlie, you weren't around. I don't know. Where were you at?
You were
at WMRN all those
years. That's right. I was buried in...
You were even a janitor at one time.
That's right. Janitor, you name it.
Charlie Evers.
I could clean restrooms.
You'd clean restrooms and...
I was everything. Night watchman. I carried a gun.
Oh, did you carry a gun?
It was so heavy. I had an elastic belt, and it used to
hang down
to my knees.
Down to your knees. Charlie's running around WMRN. You know what? iHeart is going out of business.
Oh, that's bad.
Isn't that
terrible?
There's
one employee there.
And Schauber bought the Blue Station.
That's right.
And he's got Silky Ray with him.
Yeah. And guess what?
I heard Schauber say that he's going to run iHeart out of
President
business.
Harding's dog, Laddy Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again with George Casotas. We're talking about the old Marion. Now, you won't find this in the review of the 100 years history of Marion. Well, 100 or 200.
Maybe 200 years.
Was it 200? Yeah.
Have we been around 200 years, Charlie? It seems like it.
Yes, that's right. Well, it's 11:46 right now, in case anyone wondered. Now, let me tell all you people. If I don't get to it tomorrow, I will on Friday. I'll take more names to get you registered for a drawing for the Ridgedale Lions Club coming up February 15th. Their Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction. Chicken dinner, George. Wow.
Oh, that we go every year. Joanne and I go to that every year.
Yeah.
We support it. Joanne buys a car.
Oh, she, yeah, one of those die-cast.
And they're really nice little cars.
Yes, yeah. There was a man in Marion that built those. Oh, he was a Harding High School graduate in 1959.
There's usually 50 cars there, something like 50 cars.
And this guy from Marion formed a company that built these NASCARs, the licensed version.
Sure.
And I can't remember his name.
So this ticket is for the Ridgedale?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one.
And it takes place this year out on Route 309, just before you get to...
What's his name that has the car lot?
The Marion Auto Sales.
Yeah, Marion Auto Sales.
excuse me, I had to cough.
That's okay.
Ted
Elsie.
Ted Elsie, yes.
Oh my God, Ted Elsie. He's the
head man.
Well, he does a lot of work.
Yeah, and he's listening right now.
Ted Elsie is one heck of a guy. I've met him.
We have a caller. Caller, go ahead.
Fred Wagenhals.
Fred Wagenhals. Yep. Yes.
All right. Thanks for
having me. Hey, thank you. Yep. Yeah. Fred Wagenhals, the man who formed a company to build the licensed NASCAR die-cast models.
Oh, really?
Fred Wagenhals.
I remember that name, Wagenhals. Oh,
yeah, he's a very well-to-do. I mean, he started out after he graduated making money, and tons of money.
Well, that was nice of that gentleman that just called to tell us about Wagenhals.
Fred
Thank you.
Yeah, he comes to the 59, there are not going to be any more Class of 59 reunions. They had the last one
really?
2 years ago, yeah. They figure they're all getting too old.
Oh, wow. Well, we're all getting there.
Yeah, we still have you. My class has reunions.
Have you turned 86 yet?
No, next year. I'm 85 now.
Oh, I thought you were going to... I thought you were 86 already.
No. But I turned 85 September 21st.
Oh, September.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so... And I got... downstairs here at the heart failure clinic, I don't have to come back for 3 months. The urologist, I don't have to come back for a year. And next week I see a kidney doctor, and he'll probably say, "Ever, you're about to die."
Yeah, some people out there don't know. We're in the old Frank Brothers building.
That's right.
The Frank Brothers department store.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
A long time ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The house that we live in now, the guy that owned the store, Frank Brothers, we bought that house. He had about 5 kids, and we had big bedrooms.
Oh.
And, goodness gracious.
Time flies.
Yeah, but the Frank Brothers building was quite active. Euler Phillips and Frank Brothers were the 2 department stores downtown.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And we're sitting inside Frank Brothers right now, the old building,
right,
which is owned by...
floor.
Owned by Lois Fisher.
What was sold on the second floor, I wonder? What departments?
Clothing. Were the clothing store.
Oh, the whole thing was, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they had furniture because...
It was similar. What was the difference between Euler's and Frank's?
Not that much.
No, I wouldn't think.
They had clothes and jewelry.
Competitors across the street.
Huh?
Competitors.
It's like Gimbel's and Macy's.
Yeah.
You remember at... Gimbel's had the first Santa Claus, and they said, whatever you don't find here, you can go over to Macy's. And they made that Christmas story, and it was the biggest Christmas story at the time.
Man. Yeah. And that's something.
But you know what the biggest selling Christmas story movie was?
No.
And everybody says, well, Christmas in here and Christmas in there. It wasn't. It was that story about the little boy, going home.
Oh, wait, we have a caller.
Going home or something like that.
Caller, go ahead.
Don't forget Sutton and Leitner.
Oh, Sutton and Leitner, okay.
That was a great store. I lived right next door to Ray Sutton.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was a sweetheart.
Where's Jim Sutton now? Is he dead?
Jim, and it's Jim Leitner. Last I heard, is in Hawaii.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And John Leitner is, I believe, in LaRue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't Sutton and Leitner start after Frank Brothers closed?
No.
Where was the Sutton and Leitner building? Before they went to the mall.
Right, Right. They were, in fact, they took over, they had two streets. They were on Center Street and, Prospect Street?
Yeah, where the Army-Navy place is right now,
yeah.
Behind the old Frank Brothers.
Yeah. But as a kid, when I went to the old Baker downtown, you know, I'd always stop at Euler's and Frank's and Sutton's. So
yes, well, I didn't mention the other day. I just mentioned Euler's and Frank's. I didn't think of Sutton as, but I'm glad you called in and mentioned that.
Can't forget Sutton and Leitner's. It was a great store.
Sure was, yeah.
Nancy Sutton is down in Sarasota.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's where she lives.
Oh, okay.
Where was Jay's Toggery? Did we have a Jay's Toggery?
Toggery was out in the mall.
Yeah, Doug's Toggery.
And Mike Alex, he's the one that owned the Toggery.
Okay.
Okay, but you know what?
This station used to be in that.
Jim Dugan's was one of the oldest stores.
Yep.
Dugan's was here, I think, before Sutton and Leitner, before Frank Brothers, before Euler's.
Dugan's and another good men's store was Market and Lewis.
Marquette and
what
Lewis.
What about Anson Pickerel?
Oh, well, now we're going on to the clothing stores.
I just didn't want to forget about Sutton and Leitner.
No, okay, great. Thank you so much.
Bye.
That was wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. A trip down
Anson
the past.
Pickerel. And everybody says Marquette, like M-A-R-K-E-T.
Yeah.
It's Marquette.
Right, yeah.
Marquette and Lewis. I still have a tie, and I have a couple of shirts, and the label says Marquette and Lewis.
Okay.
I still have that.
Where was Anson Pickerel?
Next door to Marquette and Lewis.
I thought so, yeah.
Now, some guy is in there with both stores, bought both stores, and he's remodeling it, and he's been remodeling it for the last year and a half, and he hasn't opened it yet, and it's supposed to be a restaurant.
What I'm waiting to see is the old cigar store when it's done.
Oh my goodness! The whole back end.
Yeah.
If you're coming down Center Street, the whole back end is tore out. It's empty.
Yeah.
Is there, and you can see through the roof.
You're right. I think we had a caller there. Caller, come back. We need to hear from you. Yeah. Isn't that something? And they punched a hole in the wall there, which used to be Republican.
Oh yeah, they poked a hole in the wall.
Here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
Years ago, up there by Frank Brothers, it was a Luke's Hardware, too, right there.
Luke's Hardware, I bought a barometer there, and I still have the barometer.
And then when George is talking about that fan, it was probably John Turner Hardware right up there on Main Street.
Yeah, John
Turner.
That's
probably where he
got it. Oh, my God. All those guys came into my restaurant.
Yep, John was a hell of a nice man.
Oh, he was a beautiful guy, John Turner.
That's it, though.
Luke's Hardware and Turner's Hardware. This town was booming back then.
Yeah, Crowballs. There's a lot of hardware,
Crowballs.
Yeah, Crowballs.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Wow.
Boy, we're getting some action out there now.
Yes, yes. I'm glad that we've got people listening that remembers.
Oh, yeah. That's why they're listening, because they want to hear the history from George and Charlie.
And if they listen all day long, they'll hear everything we just said probably about 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it'll be coming on at 3 in the morning.
And, the memories. Gosh. And Crawball, remember, his store caught on fire. And Dugan's and National City.
Was that Harry Crawball? Harry?
I don't know. Harry, yeah.
Harry Crawball.
Yeah, so he left there and then went out to that General Dollar.
Yeah.
Well, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, you guys are forgetting about a store on North Main Street that was Guy's Hardware. He's called John Deere, and he was a member of Marion County Fair Board.
Helen County was secretary of the Marion County Fair Board.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the building is still there.
Yep.
And him and my dad were real good friends. And every time the fair came around, he would hire Dad and I and go out and get the fairgrounds ready.
Okay, very good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, yeah. So, Yeah, there was hoblets of furniture down that way, too. I can remember Helen Guy. Helen gave me some...
Helen who?
Guy. From Guy Hardware.
Oh, Guy's Hardware, yeah. Right. No, I was thinking of Helen Truman from the Saratoga Bar and Grill.
Yeah, next time we'll talk more about the Saratoga and some...
The Slim Truman and the Saratoga?
We could go on, especially George knows all this.
All those restaurants. God, when I was in the seventh, eighth, and ninth grade, I'd go over to the Hotel Harding and help Chef Bomas make the steamship rounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The steamship rounds at the Hotel Harding.
So good, delicious.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he would have these steamship rounds, and I helped him cook those steamship rounds, and I was in junior high school.
Oh, boy. Oh, George.
That's where the county building is. That was Central Junior High School.
Right, yes. What about... Do you ever eat sushi?
Who?
Sushi.
Oh, sushi. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of sushi.
Really?
I've had it.
I've been eating that lately, and I've lost weight.
Oh, yeah, I know. You told me that you found a sushi place that was real good.
Yeah, well, Aldi's here in town got a shipment of sushi in last week.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably about gone by now.
Yeah.
Panda Express. Now, I don't think they have sushi.
There's a little Korean girl that married, what's his name, Watts. Not Martin Watts, but the other Watts, his older brother. And she makes the best kimchi in the whole world.
Oh, really?
Oh, golly.
Where's that at?
Well, no, she used to work in my restaurant.
Oh,
she
okay.
helped me work in the restaurant. Yeah. But she's at home now. And she said, I saw her the other day at TJ Maxx. And she said, George, I'm going to make some kimchi.
Wow.
I said, well, bring over a little bit for me. There's certain ways. Now, in Korea, if you're in Korea, I was in Korea in the early 50s.
That's right, yeah.
That kimchi was not good.
Is that right?
Too spicy, and it would burn your mouth.
Oh, yeah, I know you can buy some of that kimchi off the produce department in a jar.
Yeah.
And, man, it is powerful.
It's too spicy, but she makes it real nice and smooth.
Oh,
it's
really?
Not as spicy. They add too much... it burns your mouth.
That, what's it called? That not kimosabi, but
what that, kimchi?
That spice that the green, it's green.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, it's hotter than a firecracker.
Oh yeah, you're going. Ha ha!
And our program is over, George.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll
God bless you.
See you next month. All right, it's been a lot of fun.
Bye.
Okay. So that's it.
You're
we'll
listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From presidential nominee, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Okay, well, let's. Here we go. It's announcement time.
I want to write myself on an independent ticket and run for president of the United States.
What inspired this?
A lot of the situations where it's quite evident that it's time for a change. Everything must change. If there were no butterflies, if there were no caterpillars, there'd be no butterflies. Change, change, change. That's what it's time for, Scott. You know it. Terry Tackett knows it. Scott Anthony knows it. Brianna knows it. It's time for a change. Not just in the housing market. I'm talking about globally. Our United States government is spending more money on building prisons and earning money per capita of inmates, and then won't give a darn about cutting school spending. Our teachers and our educators are underpaid, if you ask me, underpaid. Our kids need to compete with other nations like China. The list goes on. I'm just sick and tired of walking up to little children and them being clueless without a PC.
WWGH Radio, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, the place to talk. Find us on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Look for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address
2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead.
I'm the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and you're listening to WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. It's time to make the donuts.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare.com. 43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
This is Earl Fitzamerican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050. It's now time for the obituary report on WWGH Radio.
Tom W. Dye, age 64, of Waldo, passed away on Wednesday, January 15th, at the Presidential Center. He is survived by his mother, girlfriend, brother, and other relatives. Visitation will be on Saturday, January 25th, at Peace Community Church of Christ, 4061 Columbus Sandusky Road South, from 10 a.m. to noon. A celebration of life service will immediately follow at noon, with Reverend Joel Fetter officiating. Burial will be in Waldo Cemetery. You may leave an online condolence at Snyder Funeral Homes.